Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today myself, Jay and Buster will look back on the 1-0 victory over Dundee. We were actually planning on discussing what is now this evening's game against Aberdeen, but that's fallen foul to the weather. We'll look ahead to the Scottish Cup quarter-final against Hearts, and we'll possibly discuss a wee bit more of the SPFL's winter break, given that we're sitting at the end of February, almost the 1st of March, and games are still falling foul to the weather. But anyway, guys, how's it going?
Not too bad. Good, Matt. Good, mate, yourself?
Yeah, not bad, mate. A wee snow day, so no complaints there.
I think that's a case for just about everybody, aye?
Wednesday afternoon, not really a traditional time to record, but it's quite welcomed anyway. And Buster, I'll start with yourself. A 1-0 victory at the weekend over Dundee, and what was possibly one of our worst performances of the season, I would say. Got to give full credit to the players in terms of the way they set out. They were very resolute at the back. Dundee never really threatened, to be fair. There was the odd chance. If you listen to Neil McCann after the game, you'd have thought that Trevor Carson's goal had been bombarded. That certainly wasn't the case. We took our chance when we got it. It was our only chance of the game when we got it. Craig Tanner scoring yet again at Dens Park. I guess the overriding sentiment has got to be that was a very good 3 points.
Well, yep. I think what you want out of these games is 3 points, so fantastic that we got 3 points. As you say, going forward, we were basically atrocious. One chance, one goal, you know, 100% success rate, I suppose. But it was not pretty to watch. As you said, Neil McCann seems to think that, and I can't mind the Dundee player's name as well, but another Dundee player came out in the media as well, moaning about the fact that they've apparently played us off the park every time they've played us. All we do is kick them. You know, we've somehow managed to beat them 3 times at Dens Park. But Dundee were absolutely shocking as well. I thought, as you said, there was, I think, each goalie had one significant touch of the ball. Trevor Carson made a pretty decent save at one point, and their goalie had to pick the ball at the net. That's the be-all and end of it, basically. Dundee had a few more attempts. I think many of them were off target. The rest of them sort of trickled into Trevor Carlson's hands. The defence, clean sheet again, you know, you can't argue with that. It was hard to sort of pick a man of the match from a Lowe's point of view, I suppose, but I suppose it would have to go to one of the centre-halves or, you know, somebody in the defence anyway, because there was nothing else going forward. The clean sheet's what you're wanting as a defender. 1-0 victory, and as I say, Neil McCann greeting only made it even sweeter.
Yeah, Jay, I think it's quite clear that Neil McCann is feeling very hard done to. I think that's the second or third time this season I've heard him bleating after a game about referees' decisions. And there was a strange comment where he actually said that he had mentioned to the referee that Curtis Main, before the game, that Curtis Main tends to nudge defenders and bully defenders. If that's not getting in the referee's head, then I don't know what is. The result itself brings us 3 points closer to Hearts. We lost at the weekend. Kilmarnock got a good draw from 2-0 behind it, home to Hibs. They've then followed it up with playing each other last night, and it ended in a 1-1 draw. Hearts kind of squandering a late chance to win that game. Kyle Lafferty missed a penalty. It sets us up nicely. We had to recover from the defeat to Kilmarnock. We've done exactly that. And it's now a three-way battle for two spaces in the top six.
Yeah, that's that. We're, you know, obviously right in there. We might not be the favourites by a long shot, but, you know, you're right, results have kind of went our way recently to set it up nicely. Obviously, losing to Kilmarnock at Fir Park wasn't ideal. I didn't actually make it along to Dens because, you know, payday just didn't come soon enough, but thanks to the always good work, the sterling work for Kaz and Tomo, I did manage to see the vast majority of it. And, you know, watching it did seem a lot like that Motherwell-Kilmarnock game a week before, where we played the Kilmarnock role. You know, we just managed to grind out the result. We did what we had to do. You know, and that's welcome. And Stephen Robinson, you know, said as much after the game. If you want to be in the top six, it's not just about, you know, and, you know, playing great football and obliterating teams. It's about grinding out 1-0s, and, you know, it was job done in that regard. Just to Neil McCann, I think you're giving him a lot of credit by suggesting that that's only, that, you know, it's two or three times that he's been blatant about referees. He's become a parody of himself. It's practically after every single game that Dundee are involved in, Neil McCann just comes onto the screen, face absolutely tripping him, and just moans through the entire interview. And I think if you compare that with the way that, like, Sir Robinson conducted himself after we had lost to Kilmarnock, you know, it was still focusing on the fact that we had been the better team, still focusing on what we had done, and pretty much just accepting that what Kilmarnock had done, they'd done well. You don't get that for Neil McCann. All you get is just non-stop moaning. I would like to put it down to maybe just the inexperience, considering he's a pundit-turned-manager. But if he is going to, you know, give the managerial game a proper crack for the foreseeable future, I would like to think with a bit more experience, he'll stop just being such a whinging bastard, because that is literally all he does after every single game.
And Bust, I suppose if you were a Dundee supporter, the question would be there, is he actually going to give it a crack? Because he didn't really commit himself to it at the end of last season. It kept him up, and fair play to him for that, but he's not really exactly carried on his good work. They're struggling again at the foot of the table. He's brought in some players as well that must be commanding a big wage. I was quite impressed by the boy Colker on Saturday, albeit he never really had that much to do, did he? But he was good and runs up the park. He looked very comfortable on the ball, very imposing. They must be paying a lot of wages, Dundee, as well. So it's really going to stick in his throat, a team like Motherwell, who have got a lot of young guys in there. Guys that I would imagine are in considerably less than the likes of Stephen Colker, are coming to their place and beating them three times this season at Dens Park. We possibly should actually be able to keep Dundee now.
Well, Dundee have got themselves into trouble previously, maybe two or three times. It's at least twice, I think, anyway, by obviously overpaying players. So I'd like to think that, you know, there's a wee bit of a, you've got a wee bit of a grip on that. But as you say, Stephen Colker is a very good player. You know, he was playing at a very decent level, you know, with Spurs and things like that. Got into the England team, and he did look pretty comfortable. The only mistake he made really was when he let the ball run across him and Craig Tanner tapped it into the empty net. You know, he should have basically put that into the stand, I thought, before it even got towards Craig Tanner. But you know, as you say, Neil McCann is greeting constantly. Celtic have obviously signed Scott Bain on loan, and, you know, the boy Parrish is in goals for Dundee. And, I thought Scott Bain was a pretty good goalkeeper. Celtic obviously think so as well. And I said to my mates who support Celtic, why is this guy being pumped out of Dundee? And they said he'd fail out with Neil McCann, apparently. That's why he was on loan at Hibs previously before he came to Celtic. So, you know, maybe Neil McCann's inexperience as a manager, the pressure maybe of being in a wee bit of trouble there, not so much trouble at the bottom, but I think, you know, if he's not careful, Dundee are going to get dragged in there. So maybe that's why, you know, he's coming out with his comments every week rather than, you know, trying to put a bit more of a, I don't want to say positive spin on it, but, you know, trying to be a bit more positive rather than constantly slating referees or whatever his excuses are every week. But I noticed there's a few Dundee fans on places like Pye and Borville and that who had said a few things and maybe are getting a bit sick of him as well, to be honest with you.
And Jay, tonight we're scheduled to play Aberdeen at Fir Park. The beast from the east has swept in, and while we've had plenty of weather warnings over the course of the winter months that haven't really come to very much, this one's been a bit more severe, and it was good to see that very early this morning the game was postponed. There's always the worry that when Sky Television have got a game, they perhaps take a few more risks to try and ensure the game goes ahead. Sky maybe forced the issue there. I don't know the ins and outs there, so it would be wrong to comment or speculate on that. But the right decision was made in the end. Disappointing that we can't try and take advantage of that good result on Saturday and the result going our way at Tynecastle last night. But I suppose it's for another day now.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think when we were, you know, everybody was kind of speaking about it last night and then again this morning. And I think the general consensus was that there really wasn't any logical way in which the game could go ahead, particularly when you factor in the fact that it's Aberdeen we're playing against. Aberdeen obviously get a lot of comments regarding their Central Belt support, but there's still many Aberdeen fans who would have been looking to come down to that game from up north. And then obviously the team itself and the management, the staff, etc. need to get down as well. So for me, it's a no-brainer. You know, when you've, you know, whether or not the weather is as bad as they're predicting remains to be seen. But when you've got things like, you know, red weather warnings and threat to life, etc., then, you know, it's a game of football. We can postpone it. I'm not too sure about the idea that it's disappointing not to be able to capitalise on the weekend. You know, if it was a Saturday game, then maybe, because that would perhaps interrupt your momentum. But yeah, more often than not, players are used to playing week to week. So having the Wednesday, you know, free with a game still coming on Sunday, I think will be fine. Particularly when you factor in the conditions. If the game had been going ahead, it could have been a real, real shit fest. You know, it could have been, you know, high winds, blizzards. It's not the kind of game that I would have identified as one that we could really go and look to carry any momentum through. It would have been a case of just trying to grind out a result. So I think it's the right decision all in, and hopefully it will now allow us to concentrate fully on Sunday. Not that we wouldn't have, but we can now do so a little bit earlier, be a bit more prepared for that, because that's now going to be a massive, massive game for us.
I think you're right there, Jay, when you say, you know, it doesn't really slow anything down. Tonight's game, as you said, with the conditions, could have been something that maybe caused an injury or two as well, and we with the quarterfinal coming up there. You know that you're no one to win in the league either, but you know, with the quarterfinal coming up there, that's, you know, you want to basically be looking at that and thinking we want our strongest team possible available.
Mm-hmm. We'll move on and discuss that game on Sunday, the Scottish Cup quarterfinal against Hearts. I guess when we talked about things being interrupted, I don't know how badly the players will be hampered by having to try and find facilities indoors to train. I'd imagine we possibly had a few kind of precautions in place should that eventuality occur, but there, as I say, we got into the game fresh without a game in 8 days. Hearts have obviously had to play in the midweek. Does that come into it, Buster? Is that a factor that Hearts might be that wee bit more jaded than we are?
I tend to think not. You know, these guys are professional athletes. It was last night, Tuesday, they play again on Sunday, so it's not even like a Wednesday, Saturday sort of thing. There's an extra day or two in there as well. So I don't think that'll have much a negative effect on them. Just looking at the you know, the results and things like that as well, they've not won since the last cup round against St Johnstone by the looks of it. So, you know, a couple of draws there and a defeat to Rangers, they're maybe not in the best run, so it's maybe a semi-decent time for us to have a right go at them.
And yeah, it's always a difficult one, isn't it? And I really need to get rid of that cliche, but it's a tough task ahead of us, but it's a tie that we said when the draw came out, it feels winnable, and I believe that we can, particularly with home advantage, progress to a second National Cup semi-final of the season.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've already shown this season that we're, you know, I don't want to say a cup side, because, you know, I don't know if such a thing exists, but we have, you know, some of our best performances this season have been reserved for the, you know, the cup, the quarter final against Aberdeen, the semi final against Rangers. You know, and if we can replicate that kind of performance on Sunday, then, you know, Hearts are more than beatable. you know, I think regardless of what happens on Sunday, to get to the League Cup final and the Scottish Cup quarter final is very, very good progress considering, you know, how poorly we've done in the Cups in recent years. But I think most Motherwell fans going on Sunday will be confident that we can go another step forward. Yes, the game on Saturday, you know, you guys have a better opinion of it than me, but the sort of comment at the start there was that it's one of our worst performances of the season and yet we managed to win. I don't know how much that will play on how we set up on Sunday. Hearts, as Buster says, are on a little bit of a slump at the moment. We've already shown that we can compete with them. So, you know, I think it's all set up to be a really, really good cup tie. And just, you know, I know Hearts are obviously, I think they'd sold out their allocation of 3,500 and they were possibly going to be getting more tickets.
Right,
fair enough. Hopefully, enough, you know, plenty of Motherwell fans get there. I know that the Sunday kickoff isn't ideal. It's on TV. It might be a wee bit easier to kind of, you know, pay at the gate, maybe decide not to go. But I think it's just one of those games that could be a great atmosphere, a great cup tie. And yeah, I'm fully confident that we can go and get the win. And if we do, you know, to be in a semi-final, regardless of what then happens, to have made the Scottish Cup semi-final and the League Cup final in a season, while still in a three-horse race, as you said, Sparra, for the top six, I think would be an absolutely phenomenal place to be at the start of March.
Buster, the sellout of the Hearts allocation, as they got more tickets, they've sold them as well. We'll be struggling to match their support. It is important, though, that the Motherwell fans get out. Perhaps they pay at the gate. Punters have had one less game this week with the cancellation of tonight's game. Maybe people were in the mind that they were going to pick and choose. Certainly, if it came down to opinion myself, I would always be choosing the cup game over a run-of-the-mill, if you will, league game. It's a big game, I know it's on the television, but the Hearts fans are going to be there. When you fill that stand, the acoustics and everything else allows for a loud travelling support. I guess it's time for a supporters to step up, because the players throughout the season, we can't dwell too much on a bad spell around Christmas time. For the best part of the season, they've been excellent and they really deserve our backing with this one.
Well, I think, you know, we've got our support. There's our core support, and usually when it comes to maybe semi-finals and finals, that's where it doubles or maybe even trebles. You know, you're going to get about 4,000 Motherwell fans anyway, I think. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts when it comes to seeing Hearts bringing so many fans. You know, I think they've got maybe, 4,500, 800, something like that, tickets now if they're selling at that full stand. You know, that's good, obviously, for the money jar, but, you know, the best way to shut them up basically is on the park. If we can basically get off to a good start, stick one in the goals and shut them up, then, you know, that'll raise our own support and, you know, maybe shut them up so we can then obviously hope something like that would happen. But Motherwell fans in general, you know, despite the numbers, we always seem to get behind our team, so, you know, there's always the odd wall up or shouting one or two things. But I think, you know, that's something that's calmed down a lot in the last 10 years or whatever. But I don't think really the number of fans going there for ourselves will change, to be honest with you.
Aye, I still, in terms of matching the Hearts support, I still expect that we'll outnumber the Hearts support. I mean, you're talking, I think the South Stand holds about 4,500. I'm not sure whether there's any talk about Hearts getting, you know, the wings of the main stand or something. But if it is just the South Stand, minus the seats that I don't think have been replaced that were ripped out with the Celtic fans, you're talking maybe about 4,000, 4,500 Hearts fans. And I would expect us to still get, you know, more than that along for the Motherwell point of view. You do get those folk that just seem to turn up on cup games. You know, fair play if that's your thing. But, you know, you look at some of the cup ties over the years and you certainly do get some Motherwell fans who, for whatever reason, don't perhaps make normal normal league games but come out for cup ties. So, you know, if you're talking about 4,500 Hearts fans, I would be hopeful of, you know, about 9,000 in total.
It's nice being able to get excited about cup ties, though, again, isn't it? Because it's been so long since we've had any. Oh, don't get me wrong, we've been excited about third round or fourth round of Scottish Cup ties where we've then ducked out at the first hurdle and we've had a few embarrassments along the way. This season's been very positive in a cup sense, so be it that we've not actually lost any of the kind of build up to the finals. So we've played, what, maybe 8-9 cup ties and we've come out in the right end of a result in every occasion. Don't want to jinx it, but that's a very strong record.
No, that's on you go, Jay, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you talk about not dwelling on it. I mean, that's kind of what I was saying earlier. You know, it's easy to kind of go, oh, we're a bit of a cup team, but I mean, what does that really mean at the end of the day? Beating Aberdeen and Rangers last year in the League Cups, quarter-final and semi-finals, you know, a good few months ago now, has that got as much a part of to play as grinding out a result against Dundee on Saturday? There's so many factors. But, you know, again, it can give you confidence. You know, you can ask the players who were there, for example, you know, who went out at Hampden in the final, you know, to kind of keep that in their minds, you know, what it felt like, the achievement of that, and see if that can push them on to reach another semi-final. Because I think that there is a link there. Again, I'm not too sure whether I'm really behind this idea of cup teams, but you do get sides who for whatever reason just seem to turn it on in cup games, whether it is that maybe, you know, the momentum or the memories of the success previously just strives on to do them you know, to do better again. And as we said, Hearts are not as good as perhaps they have been recently. I think up until the last couple of weeks, that top five looked all but secure. You know, you were basically looking at Celtic winning the league, Rangers, Aberdeen and Hibs for second, third and fourth, in whatever order, and then Hearts in fifth. And then it was really looking like ourselves are coming up for sixth. As you said earlier, Sparta, Hearts have now been kind of dragged back into that. There's not even any guarantees that they're going to make the top six now, never mind the top five. And so they're a side that will be, you know, wary, will be a wee bit wary, perhaps low in confidence, and they're certainly a side that we can beat on Sunday.
They've had quite a strange season. Sorry, on you go.
No, I was just going to say, I think, you know, obviously saying our own cup runs over the years, you know, have been pretty shite, basically, but I think that's half the excitement of the cups. You only really have to, you know, whether you shit fest through five or six games or whether you, for some reason, you turn it on in those five or six games, you only have to win maybe five games and that's you know, won the cup. People always bemoan things like, you know, St Johnstone or Inverness, even Hibs. I know Hibs are a bigger team than Motherwell, but, you know, their record in the cup was utter shite for 110 years. But, you know, these teams have all won it since we last won it, and people always sort of bemoan about the fact that we've never really got close. We got to the final 6 years ago, whatever it was. But, you know, the fact that we've been rubbish and never won it since. But I think that's half the beauty of the cup, that you don't have to be consistent. You know, once a month you can turn up and play really well. And I don't know what the mentality is behind that for the players or the clubs, you know. But I think that's half the beauty.
I just want out there, we've won 9 cup ties or cup games this season. Obviously, 4 of the Betfred League Cup group fixtures, and then so 5 of the victories have come against top flight opposition as well, which is pretty good going. So to add a 10th on Sunday, beat 10 teams in cup competitions this season and still not won a trophy, it's I suppose it's a bit of bad luck there, but it's a scenario that I could certainly accept as long as we do the job on Sunday. Busta, just another one in Hearts before we finish up. They've been a bit of a patchy team this season. They started poorly. Obviously, change of manager, Craig Levein comes in. Ian Cathro just was a disaster from start to finish, really. Craig Levein comes in, appoints himself. They seem to level out a wee bit and find their feet. And now, post-break, they're perhaps struggling to find their stride or find the same solidity that they had before that break. They were winning games only by slender margins, with the exception of their victory over Celtic. Keeping clean sheets, which is obviously absolutely vital in your success. I think they're a stuffy team, but when they're having an off day, you would really fancy them. So you've got to hope again that this poor form can continue into Sunday.
Yeah, as you said, you know, there's been a real mixed bag. As much as it sort of pained me to say it as well, at the time I thought Levein had actually started to do a really good job, and, you know, he still is doing a decent job with him, because, as you say, Ian Cathro, as much as everybody in Scotland, barring a few people, was sort of hoping it would work, you know, this new sort of type of coach, manager, whatever, it was an absolute farce, to be fair, and some of the results he had were diabolical. But Levein started to, you know, put a sort of I'd maybe say he was sort of, again, without actually seeing the games, I'd maybe say that he was having a bit of a shit fest as well. You know, no conceding any goals, winning 1 or 2-0. As you say, maybe Barn Celtic, where I think they scored 4 or 5. But, I've just put up the results as I'm looking at them, they had during that run, they had a lot of games at home, due to the fact they had a lot of games away at the beginning of the season as well. So that's maybe how they're looking so all over the place here, you know, Shite to Sugar, then, you know, back to sort of mixed bag again. But as you said, we're at home. When the draw was being made, I think, amongst ourselves, we were all saying a home tie would be exactly what we want. We got it. It's not exactly the toughest of games we could have got. It's not the easiest either, but it's certainly winnable. And as you say, hopefully Hearts come a bit more Shite than Sugar on Sunday.
A few things just to finish us up. Today is the year anniversary of Stephen Robinson getting the job. And Jay, I think we can safely say, well, there was maybe a wee bit of scepticism, perhaps not the first choice, or certainly not the first choice amongst the three of us at the time. He's very much won us over the course of that year. He described in his press conference yesterday that he believed that it was as ideal a first year that you could possibly have in a job. I would tend to go with that. A lot of highs, very few lows. Achieved his initial objective of keeping us up. Then this season we really hit the ground running. Final of the Betfred League Cup. Pushing for a top six place. It's night and day in terms of the personnel, the feeling around the club. And Stephen Robinson's been a massive factor in all of that.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's, there's a good few factors as well. You know, if it was just perhaps grinding out results, then you would perhaps still concede that there would be, you know, debates for maybe still not being the right man because, you know, this might go wrong or what would happen if this happens. But he's had some crises to deal with. You know, he's had that spell in December where we were really, really poor. He's had the dejection and the real negativity of that week against Celtic, which seemed to take so much out of the players. Louis Moult's left, he's had to replace him. And of course, you know, he's one of a team. You know, Keith Lasley, Craig Hinchcliffe, the recruitment guys. I'm not suggesting that Rob was responsible for it all, but you know, it's been a difficult season at times. It's not been plain sailing. If he'd came in and everything was rosy and we'd just kept that that period going, or that form going at the start of the season, then by all means we could have been up fourth in the table, looking great, championing Robinson as one of the greatest managers we've had. But round the corner there could be a crisis that he couldn't, you know, he perhaps hadn't been tested. But I think he has been. He's came through the tests that have been set. He's held his hands up when he's made mistakes. He talks really, really well about the club, about the players, about what he's trying to do. Might not always agree with his lineups or his substitutions. But yeah, everything's going in the right direction. As I said earlier, we're the 28th of February. We're in a quarter-final of the Scottish Cup. We were defeated finalists in the League Cup and we're one of three teams who have got a chance of finishing in the top six at the moment in that sixth place. So I think, you know, I think it's as good a season as we could ever have hoped for after, you know, the last couple of years.
I think that's exactly it as well. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, you know, where it came to Robinson taking over, even where we finished, you know, last year we completely shit-faced our way to safety. At that point, if somebody had said to you by, you know, February of next year, you'll be sitting mid-table, very little chance of being involved in relegation, possibly pushing for top six, you'll have been in a final and you'll be in a quarter-final, you'd have told them they were dreaming, to be honest with you. You'd never have fucking believed that. But, you know, it's something we always say here. It shows how tight the league can be at times. But, you know, absolute credit to Robinson. Other than the complete shit fest of December, I think we've said shit fest about 15,000 times today as well. But you know, other than the completely shite December, it's been a pretty decent season. And I think, you know, looking back, I think it's those three Celtic games really did take a lot out of us. You know, mentally and probably physically as well. But you know, credit to Robinson. He's been fantastic, I think, to be honest with you. And, you know, I've seen a wee sort of graphic that I think it was Murdo put up. You know, he's won 50% of his games, which is naming feet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, congratulations to Stephen Robinson. A great year. And I think I was actually trailing through the Facebook comments on a post from this time last year when it was announced that Mark McGee was leaving, had been sacked. He wasn't leaving anywhere, well, I suppose he was leaving, but not through his own volition. And it was so negative. There was a lot of calls for club staff and to follow him out the door. There was doubts about the Welsh Society. And it's amazing how just different personnel and just... I suppose it's only one change initially, but you start to get a grip in things and things can turn round quite a short space of time, I suppose. So it's a fickle nature in football, but it's been a certain upward curve and long may it continue. Guys, just a final one. We're obviously recording a Wednesday afternoon due to the fact that none of us can make it into work. There's also a fixture that was meant to be on tonight that's been cancelled. The winter break is something that's come under a bit of scrutiny from all of us through basically November right through to now. We've tried to shoehorn in all these midweek games. I think that's our third or fourth midweek game since the return from the winter break, which was the 21st or the 20th of January. You've also got the situation now where if the game on Sunday is cancelled, which you would like to hope the forecast is for the weather to improve, it would then be played in the Tuesday night. If the game is drawn in the Tuesday night, it would then be a replay at Tynecastle the following Wednesday. So you can't schedule any games for the next 2 weeks, midweek anyway. I looked at the split fixtures and there's only one midweek scheduled. That's when the nights are a lot lighter. The weather's a lot better. It's much more pleasant for supporters to go to the football in that weather, which seems to be completely overlooked. For me, that's a no-brainer. Play two or three, even three midweek at April, May time. Nobody cares about the Champions League that's going along to see Motherwell versus Aberdeen. The Europa League isn't going to be an issue either. It's been a long time since a Scottish team got beyond the 32 or the 16 in the Europa League, never mind actually had any interest in the semi-finals and the final. We've got to start concentrating on our own supporters and our own game and stop looking elsewhere, because if the game had went ahead tonight, you're talking a wind chill of minus 12. Utterly horrible weather to be going along to the football line. It's only going to put people off in the long run. If we're trying to sell this game to sponsors and TV broadcasters, then we're making an absolute hellish job of it, because it makes no sense to continue in the vein we're going in.
Well, I mean, in terms of the actual winter break itself, I mean, I'm not dead against a winter break as such, and I think this season for Motherwell in particular, I think if you just look at how we've, you know, played and the results we've had after the break compared to before, yeah, I think it was ideal for us. You know, I think that depending on what happens from now until the end of the season, if we do make that top six, you could perhaps look at the winter break as being a really, really big part of that. So I'm certainly not against the idea of a winter break. The reason I think that it's just so farcical, it kind of sums up everything the SPFL or the SFA kind of really tend to do these days. You know, even the ideas that might have some merit seem to be just kind of executed really poorly. This kind of winter break feels more like, a reason for Celtic to go for a jolly to Dubai. You know, that's not to excuse ourselves from that. You know, I know we went to Tenerife as well. But it seems to be more about that. You know, as I mentioned in the podcast before, I think, I don't know where I read it or heard it, but, you know, the idea that there's more likelihood in Scotland to get heavy snowfall in March than you are in December or January. You know, the whole idea of a white Christmas and things like that is usually very unlikely in Scotland, because you don't get heavy snowfall on average until March. And yet we're having our winter break, at the start of January, which not only leads to the fixture congestion you're talking about, Sparrow, you know, these midweek games that there's really no need for, but you also have that ridiculous December where you're trying to pile as many, you know, it's almost trying to get through as many games as possible before the winter break. It just seems so poorly done. Now, I'm not advocating a winter break in March, but why not, you know, give it a bit more thought, actually be serious about it, rather than just giving teams a couple of weeks holiday in January and then leaving the fans to kind of battle the kind of scenes we've seen today. And as you said, the game's off today, might be a game off on Sunday, who knows, and next thing you know, you're not just asking the players to go out and play, you know, Wednesday, Saturday, but you're also asking the fans to do that as well. You know, December was a good example of that. We had so many away games in December. I don't think I've missed as many away games in a period of time as much as I did in December, purely because of that, because fans can't be expected to go and spend that kind of money on a regular basis. And not everybody has a season ticket. Not everybody can get along to Fir Park for the rearranged game. And yet, there's a chance now that Pay at the Gate punters are going to have to pay, you know, double what they were expecting to pay that week because there's an extra game now. I just think it's really, really poorly done. Too much emphasis has been placed on the fact that if you're going to have a winter break, then by all means have a break in your fixture list, but don't then, you know, pile on the fixtures either side of it. You have a winter break that's sensible, that is a break from a fairly sensible and consistent fixture list. To just kind of force it in, to crowbar it in, that results in a pile-up of fixtures either side, just doesn't work for anybody involved. But it is kind of symptomatic of the folk that run Scottish football. You know, they just don't have a clue.
I think that, to be honest with you, I am against having a set winter break. As you said, Jay, you know, the winter break done us a world of good, which is fair enough.
But could you not argue in that sense, though, that we could have went away Sunday to Thursday in warm weather training, had frank and proper conversations at that point about our forum, about what was going wrong, and come back and played in the Saturday. There's nothing that ridiculous about that. There's teams down south that are doing it quite often. West Brom did it recently and three of their guys stole a taxi outside McDonald's. But these trips could still be arranged. Celtic might not be able to get their fortnight in Dubai and meet all their sponsorship obligations, but if they want to do that during the season, then they're either going to need to forfeit games or have the common sense to schedule them for months where you're not meant to be actually playing any domestic fixtures. I don't really get the... We could have played four Saturdays in January and eradicated three midweek games from our schedule, and you've got to shoehorn in Scottish Cup replays as well, which happened to quite a few teams.
Well, that's exactly what I was getting at there. I don't think we can actually take, what is it, 2 or 3 weeks out the actual, you know, the calendar year and just say, this is when the games won't be played. You know, as Jay says, the snow in, you know, February, maybe even March, is not uncommon. To have a mild December or January as well, not uncommon. These sort of spaces have to be flexible, nearly. I know it's nigh on impossible to say, like, we could maybe have a fixture here and a fixture there, but if we get them set out, and as you said, Sparta, if clubs want to, you know, go for a, you know, a Sunday till a Thursday or whatever, do their thing that way, you know, that's perfectly fine as well. But I don't think that we can afford to basically have, especially something, I think it was like 3 weeks, maybe barring a Scottish Cup fixture, but, you know, I don't think we can afford to take that bigger chunk out of the calendar year and then just say, there'll be none happening these weeks, clubs can go and do what they want or whatever. And this sort of leads on to the, you know, summer football argument again, which is a completely different argument. And being a bit of a traditionalist, I don't think that's what I would like to see. But I don't think we can afford to take a big chunk out of the calendar and say, there'll be none happening during this point, arrange what you want to do.
Yeah, I tend to go with that. I think I would possibly be somewhere in between. I don't really agree with the amount of fixtures that we've had over this period of time. It's a time where people are recovering from Christmas. It's an expensive time. It's a time where it's a real... And I think quite a lot of fans as well, it pains you not to be able to go and support your team. There shouldn't be any reasons why there's major obstacles put to you. I could afford to go to a game every Saturday, but when you start making it Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, it becomes too much. It becomes too much to juggle around family and finances and work and everything else. It's a selfish approach from the organisers. I would say it's possibly a selfish approach as well from Celtic and the kind of the main vote holders, if you will, obviously Rangers as well, were in America in a tournament. It's not even as if they're having a break from playing, really. It's also commercialised and needless for me, but I think there is somewhere a middle ground, but league organisers certainly haven't found it.
Sorry to interrupt there, but see, even just on the, you know, going back to it again, in December we played 7 games, I think it was, maybe even 8. Again, some of that was because we maybe had games rearranged because of our cup run, But the last game was played the 30th of December. We then had nearly a month off before we played the next league game on the 24th of January. I think there was a Scottish Cup game in there as well.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That was it was a Saturday that we played Accies in the Cup.
Yeah, but again, you know, these sort of, if they're going to take these chunks out of the calendars like that, that's when maybe these rearranged games could have or should have been played. Because as far as I can remember back, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the weather was pretty much, you know, what you'd expect going from the January, you know, during the calendar month of January. So it obviously is a hard one to, you know, to actually have something set in stone, but I don't think taking that chunk out of the calendar is the way forward.
Well, I think, as I said earlier, that I think the problem for me is the fact that I think there probably would be a way to do it, even if you want to have the winter break at the time that they're having it, and you just take your chances with, you know, February and March, fair enough. But you kind of get the impression, when you look at the fixture pile-up either side of it, you know, that really busy December, and then the fact that we were having to have midweek games, you know, from pretty much the return till now, it kind of... It doesn't come across as, you know, they sat down and they worked out a sensible fixture list for the entire season incorporating a winter break. It's almost as though they picked a fixture list and then someone reminded them they had to have a winter break, you know, at the start of January, and they've just kind of shoehorned it in. That's where my kind of problem is at the moment. It doesn't feel like a fixture list that's spread out evenly and is properly planned. It's almost as though someone woke up on the 1st of January and thought, oh, we'll have a winter break now.
See, I'm just looking at there. That's, tonight would have been our 10th game since the 20th of January. That's a game almost every four... In fact, it would be less than that. A game less than every 4 days. It's a bit much between...
Well, that's the thing. What is the... I mean, what are the reasons behind a winter break exactly? I mean, because any reason I can think of is nullified by the fact that you have a fixture pile up either side. There's literally no reason, whether it's to give the fans a break, whether it's to give the players a break, whether it's to do with the weather, there is literally no reason for a winter break to occur when it's going to occur that isn't completely nullified by the fact that you then have a really busy December and, you know, as you said, 10 games since we've returned.
Yeah, that's obscene. That certainly needs looked at. It's, I think by this time last year, though, they'd announced that there was going to be another winter break for the forthcoming season, but I don't know whether with things like the World Cup, which again is us looking elsewhere and worrying about things that we're not involved in, when I don't know whether the start of the season's pushed back. I think it's actually the 4th of August it starts, so it's only a couple of days, if anything, that it's been pushed back. I just really, the lack of common sense and the lack of kind of any sort of thought process towards the supporters is what's going to end up killing our game if we continue in this path. Anyway, on that positive note, I think we've pretty much got what we came for. I thought that would have been a bit shorter, but no, a good chat over the last three quarters of an hour or so. Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers.
No ball, thank you.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back on Monday following the Scottish Cup tie against Hearts. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Talks of hostility and Maggie's mistakes, conditions of frailty, yeah. And the state of lacrimose, she's got an overdose of woes. She seeks a life through getting her every, she still longs for Romeo. And the paraphernalia can't help her now. She needs covered in snow. It's time to take it slow. And she said, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to the places I ain't found. I said, the place I want, the Marlboro, I'm a cheap perfume. She's my bodyguard. Wearing the stripy top, I love the one that shows off her tattoos, the one that put me in a spell to make me go back to her room. Do you remember? remember her friend Johnny, the one that she was kissing slyly. She took him round the back and she was kissing him contentedly. Cause I don't think he'd be happy if she's found another man. I think that it might bother him, cause he's not my biggest fan. She said, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to the places I ain't found. I said, embrace the world, the more we go. I ain't found, I say, baby.